I sat next to Jennifer Garner's assistant at a wedding, and she was like, oh, what do you do? And I was like, oh, I work for the paparazzi. She said, you know, it really affects the kids. It affects the kids. And I was like, yeah, it does.
When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Secret Life Podcast. Tell me your secret. I'll tell you mine.
When I first started my recovery 11 years ago, I struggled through the textbook-like material on the subject. I wanted to make the addiction and the recovery from it accessible and relatable to more people by telling it in an entertaining way. Well, I'm super excited to announce I've released my first book, Secret Life of a Hollywood Sex and Love Addict. If I can help just one person find a solution or at least realize they're not broken or alone, then writing this has been worth it. You can pick up the book exclusively at Amazon or signed copy at secretlifenovel.com. And the best way to support our podcast is to subscribe and share. If you haven't left a review or rating on Apple Podcasts yet, please do. It'll help more people find our show. And if you want to be a guest, shoot me a note at secretlifepodcast@icloud.com. Enjoy the episode. Welcome to Secret Life Podcast. I'm Breanne Davis-Gant. I will be pulling back the curtains of all kinds of human secrets. We will hear about what people are hiding from themselves or others. You know, the how, what, when, where, and why of it all. And my guest today is Meg. Now, Meg, I have a question for you. Dun, dun, dun. What is your secret?
So my secret is that I work in celebrity news for over a decade. I was raised in it. Both of my parents are celebrity news journalists, and I hated it.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wait, first back up. How long did your parents, and can you tell us where they worked, or can you give an idea?
Yeah. I mean, so my parents actually worked at TV Guide. They met on their first day at TV Guide.
Aww.
And I know it's very cute. I mean, they're divorced, but you know, it was cute for a while.
When was that? The 70s, 80s?
It was the 80s, the early 80s. I'm born in 82. And so I think they met in 1980 on their first day at TV Guide. But it's like my mom wasn't going to take the job. She said no to the job. And then they hired my dad, and then like her roof caved in and she called TV Guide back. And then she was like, can I have the job? And they said, well, actually we hired someone from Chicago. And then they met on the first day because they had the same job together. They were given the same job. And so that's how they met. My mom was at TV Guide for 27 years.
Oh, wow.
She was the head writer there. My dad has worked for People Magazine, the Herald Tribune. My mother, she works at the Annenberg School at USC. She teaches journalism now. She's 75. She's a total badass. She's interviewed everybody. And she took me on the red carpet when I was a little girl. So I was on the red carpet I was at the Oscars in eighth grade. I took the day off because the Oscars used to be. During the day. I like took a Monday off from school. I'm like, sorry, I have to be at the Oscars. So this was like a dream. Like I stood next to Army Archer because I was put in a different section than my mom because I didn't have the press credentials, but I ended up being directly next to Army Archer. So I was interviewing everyone on the red carpet because who are you going to look at? Like some creepy old dude with a like camera or like a 12-year-old in an amazing Betsy Johnson dress. Like they all talked to me.
They worked you? They like took advantage of you and worked you?
I wouldn't say that they worked me because I didn't get paid. So maybe that's
They worked here for like 4 hours on the red carpet for free.
For free. Yeah. So I went to with my mom to interview Michael J. Fox when I was a kid. I interviewed Tiffany Amber Thiessen. I got like,
oh my God, I would have been, I love Saved by the Bell.
I was like, who do you like? Are you all dating? She's like, no, absolutely not. I was like, but I love Mark Paul. So I just got to go to sets with her. I went everywhere with her, and I covered the Golden Globes in 10th grade for Teen People. I did all that stuff.
Oh my God, you're like a legend in the celebrity writing world. That's like not the right word, but I'm going.
My mother is. My mother actually is. I have written something about it, but it was very interesting. And growing up, I'm obviously from Los Angeles, and I went to like a very fancy prep school, like very fancy elementary school. I mean, I didn't know, it's just, you know, those were just the kids you grew up with. I mean, my year, nobody famous's parents were there, but like I have photos of like Jack Nicholson photobombing like a photo, or Bruce Springsteen like play that Wolfgang Puck was literally like serving pizzas. It seems like a satire of what's actually growing up in LA.
It sounds like True Beverly Hills to me.
Like, I mean, why was in True Beverly, like I was not in the movie True Beverly Hills, but I was in elementary school. I was talking about that yesterday. And also weirdly, my mom just sent me a photo as a Girl Scout. So growing up, that's just my elementary school best friend. Her name is Kelly Tartikoff. Unfortunately, she was in a terrible accident. Her father's Brandon Tartikoff, who was the loveliest man, but the head of Paramount, the head of NBC. I didn't know that. He was playing paper dolls with me, but he was a really fantastic man. But those are the people that, and we weren't rich, we weren't famous, my family, but my parents were doing stories on everyone's parents.
Yeah. So, and they seemed like they were just in that world covering that story. So you were a part of it.
Yeah.
But so did you know at a young age you were going to do this? Like, did you have an idea?
No, not at all. I didn't want to. I didn't mean to. So there's like this weird family photo that like my mom or my dad decided to get. And I was going through my mom's garage recently to like clean it out. And we found all these sweatshirts. And I forgot that like my dad used to be on TV. And so he always used to say, well, when I used to be on TV. So my dad had a sweatshirt that said, I used to be on TV. My mom was on TV. She was on Entertainment Tonight, I think like every night in the 80s, like in 1985 or something. And so she had a sweatshirt that said like, I am on TV. My brothers said, I watch TV. And then mine said like, I'm going to be on TV. I mean, it's like the most LA ridiculous.
Oh my God.
And I like took a family. I was just like, oh God, like
that was like your Christmas photo.
And I was like, yeah, the Christmas photo. I was just like, Jesus, my parents went on Joan Rivers, and I have this like somehow found this clip of them of Joan Rivers being like Mr. and Mrs. Gossip, Mr. and Mrs. Hollywood, and they would talk about, you know, their thoughts on Hollywood. I mean, it was just a strange, like, no wonder I loved to gossip. So when I was 18, I needed to get an internship after college. I started working at a big TV news show.
That means she can't tell us who it is, just like, so you guys know.
It was like a big TV news show, the top TV news show that's been on forever. And we interviewed Woody Allen. I just went along everywhere. And I was like, I actually hate this. I remember being like, I never want to do this. Like, I'm not interested in this career.
Do you remember that like specific interview or situation, that first thought when you were interning where you were like, I don't like this?
Oh, I think there was one thing where I was like, this world is like too ridiculous. It was a baby clothes company, and they were pitching my boss, and it said like, check out our sexy baby clothes. And I was like, what is this world? It's like sex and baby clothes. I was like, I hate this world. Like, I hate this world.
That's gross.
It was so gross. And I was just like, no. But I can tell you more than one occasion when I did eventually go to work at that place as an adult, after I was like, I'm so not interested in this world. You know, I had a lot of times where I was like, oh, absolutely not. I hate this, and this is wrong.
Okay. Now we all want to hear those times. Like, give us some examples.
So I ended up getting the job because my mother didn't like, I was 26 and my mother like didn't like where I was in life. She was like, you're just always at comedy clubs, like ruining your life. You need to like try to get a real job. get a real job. So she set me up with the EP of the show. And he was like, what do you do? And I was like, I write jokes. I write comedy. I had like done one, like literally I'd done one open mic, I think. And they tested me, and I went to good school. So it's like, I could write. I know how to write. I just hadn't ever tried to write. And then I started, and then we were at Paramount, and then we were at CBS Radford. I mean, there were a few things where I remember, like, I think that, I mean, even doing this interview, I think that, like, everything you say can be used against you in the court of public opinion. Like, everything I say,
so
right,
you're
now,
choosing,
like, one day,
your words really wisely.
Yeah. And I just, it's like, because every time I see anything, I'm like, oh, like, even our marriage, when I got married to my husband, I was like, okay, we have like a 2-year lifespan on, like, newlywed couple dies in, like, whatever, if we die, then they'll use our photos. Like, that's how my brain still works, of like, how would this story get spun by people, or but like, where I used to work, how would I have spun that story? So I'm always like thinking of, like, what would the headline be? Because I was like, every time, like, something crazy happened when we were on a honeymoon in Bali, I was like, oh, I can see this happening, then this photo is going to be used. I hope
two American on their honeymoon disappear. Yeah.
Exactly. That's, I mean, actually, Bali's very safe, but yes, that's exactly what I thought. I still think that way. But I remember a couple things, just to explain what eventually happened, was I worked for the top celebrity news show in the world for 4 years. I worked for the paparazzi for 3 years. And then I worked for kind of the biggest, like, celebrity news network.
I have a quick question that I think everybody wants to know, but do celebrities really call the paparazzi to come follow them?
I mean, absolutely. Like,
okay, thank you. Because I'm like, how do they know when they're taking out their trash at 7 a.m. in the morning or getting that coffee? I don't understand.
Say, rhymes with Schmaris Schmilton was absolutely texting my boss when I worked for the paparazzi. There's a celebrity model who was very nice and married maybe someone who's like the head of Snapchat. And like, those pictures were always like looked perfect because they would call. They would call. And you know what? Those people were like the model and the tech entrepreneur, which seemed actually very nice. Yes, Paris Hilton was always like, oh, I'm coming. I'm touching down from LA. And it was like hard because my boss was like, but like, nobody cares. Like,
yeah, I just, no, she's one cared.
Like, she's like, I'm going to send someone there because, like, what if somebody does one day? Like, I was working for them from 2013 to 2017. So, you know, her heyday had passed, but you know,
teach his own. But you know, I had to ask for the listeners if that really happens, because I believed it happens. I don't know anybody that does it. But I think it's this little white, like, lie secret.
It's not the big people. It is the hanger-ons, the social climbers. It's not Lady Gaga doing that. It's not Madonna. It's just these wannabes.
Got it. Okay. But I do want to hear about those moments that really, like, the mirror, you couldn't go around it anymore, how much you hated your job.
Right. And that's the thing. Some of them were, like, in my first year of it. But I did it for over a decade. There was, and I forget his name, but he was, like, the voice of America, the golden guy from America. He had been homeless and he had a really great voice, and he became this pop culture phenomenon. And we interviewed him, and I guess he was actually, like, drinking in his hotel room. Aww. and I was getting these you know, that those updates of, like, actually this person, we had to hide the bottles, and I just thought, this person actually really needs help. He doesn't need to be famous like that. Like, even people who are primed to be famous, it is hard to keep your head in that. But if you go from homeless to everyone loves you in 1 week, everyone in America loves you, and really this person needed, like a social worker and skills to be successful in society, and really we made him famous and put him on our show, and I think, I'm sure he was on Good Morning, all these things. And kind of that, like, oh, this is this double-edged sword, and nobody, it really changed fame for me, because I had actually always wanted to be an actress. And for me, it was like, oh, fame is like fickle and sick, and they
it's
will eat
fleeting.
You alive.
Yeah, I mean, even for me being in the business and working, I know it's not going to sustain me. Yeah. Like, when I have a job in the next year, I probably won't have a job. So it eats you up and spits you out.
Yeah. And so to me, like, always, like, wanting to be that and performing all the time, because I was performing comedy like every night, and then I would go to work, write celebrity news all day. But it really changed it of like, oh, I didn't want to be in front of the camera anymore.
Like, the glamour and the, like, facade was just completely removed.
I mean, yeah. And I mean, yes. And also, like, if you are super famous, someone is selling, and honestly, not even for money, someone is selling your secrets to somebody. Like, the amount of times when I worked at, like, I wrote 1,300 breaking news stories in 1 year.
Oh my God.
It was crazy. You know, it's like someone's always like, Kylie Jenner is actually this. Like, we knew Kylie Jenner. I'll just say, we knew Kylie Jenner was pregnant four months before we could go with it. But we can't go with it when it's our star. So it was, we just had to hold it and hold it and hold it. And those are things that are, but we would get these like, Kylie's friends is this. Or
so, you know, like, celebrity friends sell them out.
Absolutely.
So that also probably was like, ugh, what a sick business that the people closest to them sell them out.
Yeah. And I don't think that they got paid is the thing. Like,
then why do you sell out? I mean, not that I want to do it, people that are listening, but like, what's the point?
I think people get a high off of it. They get buzzed off of it. Oh, I'm doing this. Or, oh, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. I will just say, because I don't care. Like, I worked for TMZ for 1 week. And Yeah, it was like, I felt like a lackluster bad second date where we were like, we could keep doing this or we could just like walk away and be like, thanks so much.
Thanks. It's nice to meet you. Thanks for the chicken. Yeah, but I'm going to go home now.
Yeah. Thank you. I mean, they paid well, but it was just not like all those things. They're there. It also makes me know, like, anything you post on social media, like, it will be used. We will find a way. If you like something, like, people became like social media detectives. I sat next to Jennifer Garner's assistant at a wedding, and she was like, oh, what do you do? And I was like, oh, I work for the paparazzi, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, oh, I work for Jennifer Garner. She said, you know, it really affects the kids. It affects the kids. And I was like, yeah, it does. Like, I just kind of like got it. Like, it was the thing where I was like, what are we doing? Like, these people. So that was one thing. Shia LaBeouf did this. I don't know if people remember because he's done a lot of antics, but Shia LaBeouf did this thing where he sat in a room for a week with like a paper bag over his head.
Yeah.
And I was one of the first people there, and I put a paper bag on my head, and I had all these jokes that I was going to tell him. And I put a paper bag on my head, and it said, because his was like, I'm not famous. And I wrote on a paper bag that says like, I was never famous in the first place, something. And I had all these jokes that I was going to do because I knew so much about Shia LaBeouf and this and that car crash and blah, blah, blah. And I went in the room, and there was a table, and you could pick like a dagger. You could pick alcohol. I like picked a bottle of Jack Daniels and drank it. I no longer drink, but that was my choice. And then I went in there, and I asked him to take his paper bag off, and he took the paper bag off. I like saw the scars from his accident, and I saw his eyes, and I was like, this is a human being. Yeah. And what am I doing? This is not funny. I think this person just wants to connect with another human being. And it made me understand I just wanted to connect with another human being. And it really like changed how, and like anyone who went in there, it really said so much more about them, not about Shia, because he was a blank slate.
Yeah. Oh my God, that is so powerful, because truly they're just human. We're all just human beings. We all are like going to be buried and die one day. Yeah. And I just find that so fascinating that you lived this life for so long and you hated it. But I do want to tie this secret that you held. Mm-hmm. And then, so this having this job that's like eating your soul, it sounds like, I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah. Especially the last one. Yeah. It was just,
because
so
I just
bad.
Got like my heart just kind of hurt a little bit, but I like to tie everything to, you know, the seven deadly sins, mm-hmm, and not in a religious sense, but here they are. Yeah. We got pride, greed, lust, gluttony, envy, anger, sloth. Which one of these sins or more was tied to you keeping that job for so long?
Oh, it's more, I mean, it's not just one. It's like, it's pride, it's envy.
So why is it pride? Greed. Let's go through real quick. Why pride?
I would say it's probably because like I liked the like saying, oh, I work at this place, and be like, oh my God, I love that. And it's like, actually, it's like pretty terrible. Like, it's just like, I mean, it was fun to be able to like, I could talk anywhere in the world except Bali. They don't know anything about Hollywood there. They've never even heard of Hollywood, which was amazing. But it's That's like amazing. anywhere in the world, you can go, and people, they always ask who's gay. Tell me who's terrible. And it's like, I can talk about, you want to talk about the Kardashians? I followed Kim Kardashian's every move for 10 years. Like, I mean, I never watched an episode of The Kardashians.
It's no, crazy. I haven't either. I can't stand. I think it's just.
I truly feel like they've like ruined modern society.
Oh, let's not even go there because people are going to start like hating me. But I completely agree. Like, I just wish that it would all go away.
Like, which is crazy because I essentially worked for them. Like, but, you know, not that they're, I've never heard they're mean. I've never heard anything
me
like
either.
Bad about
me
them.
Either.
I swear. Except for the one.
Then you have greed. Let's get off this subject because people are going to probably be like, ugh. Okay, you got greed, you got lust, you got gluttony, envy, anger, sloth.
Okay, so sloth is like, it was so easy to stay. Like, I was going to be at the first job for 1 year and then I was going to keep acting, keep doing that. I was there for 4 years because it was just easy and it was easy to pick up a paycheck. And I, you know, to me, it's like I started at that job with $600 a week, which is more money than I had made. No, I was living at home with my mom. Like, I'd made more money and it's not a lot of money, but I remember when I got the job, I cried when I found out how much money it was because I couldn't imagine. And self-esteem, like I had 32 jobs before I was 26 years old. And so for me, it was like self-esteem. I was able to keep a job. I mean, really, like, right, save my life and change my life. But I did not like the content. And I did not like what it, you know, I was a big factor in like that like vicious cycle of Hollywood gossip, you know?
Right, right, right. So that would also tie to like greed too, because you just like were greedy with the gossip, greedy with your paycheck and just not wanting to leave this job.
And it wasn't very well paying. Like, this is not a like wildly well paying job, but, and career, the online isn't, but it was more money than I had seen. And it was easier to keep it, than to try to like find something else. So
who do you think this benefited and who do you think it's harmed?
I mean, I do think celebrities get harmed. Right. I think the bigger ones, it's not good. I think it was harder too to, with someone like a Kardashian, like these, it became so much more about these influencers. And I think that was hard for me to understand because people are doing this themselves. They are promoting and they're doing it themselves. And I also don't care about the show. I don't watch reality shows. I think they're really sick. They tend to be really sick people, and women fighting. And I don't like that. Right. So I do think, I mean, it harms me certainly, but I think like, as that assistant said, it's like, it harmed the children. It harmed, you know, always being people didn't always want to be, photographed, like Caitlyn Jenner.
The headline news. They just did not want to be it.
We got the photos of Caitlyn Jenner when Caitlyn Jenner was still presenting as male and did her nails. And there had been there was no person Caitlyn Jenner at that time known to the world. And we got those photos and those photos went everywhere. Like, we also, I think somebody got photos of Caitlyn Jenner fully nude. Like, they were illegal photos. We did not sell them. I had nothing to do with that. For the record, I had nothing to do with that. But those kinds of things, that is illegal and an invasion of privacy. They didn't go anywhere ever.
The point that you guys got them is the crazy thing and not okay.
Once again, I had nothing to do with those photos.
Thou protest too much. Yeah.
It wasn't me. I climbed up that mountain. No, I just like, you know, I didn't take the photos. And for the record, I didn't take the photos. The photos, like, we created stories from the photos.
Yes. So now how do you move forward in the future?
So I left that place 2 years ago yesterday, actually.
Yay!
And I mean, I did write a pilot about growing up in celebrity news. I'm a really fast writer because when Kevin Spacey comes out on a Sunday and you're the only one in a 200 person newsroom and you have to write it, like, I had to write fast. So for me, it's like taking that voice that I learned how to write and how to write fast, taking that, leaving that behind and creating like powerful stories that help women, you know, that embolden women as opposed to like Kim Kardashian.
Exactly. Thank you so much for being on and opening this world to us. It's just such a good secret.
It's crazy.
I'm sure you have so many more that you can't say, but we really appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you for having me on.
If you have a secret in past or present and you want to share it with me and everyone else, please email me at secretlifepodcast@icloud.com. Thanks again for listening. Until next time. Thanks again for listening to the show. Please subscribe, rate, share, or send me a note at secretlifepodcast.com. And if you like to check out my book, head over to secretlifenovel.com or Amazon to pick up a copy for yourself or someone you love. Thanks again. See you soon.